With you now on ABC Radio Canberra is Dr. Belle Alderman from the Children's Literature and she's Emeritus Professor of Children's Literature and Director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. Belle, I feel like I should have the pomp of the Russian National Anthem playing underneath me when I say that, but maybe not the version from Saudi Arabia.
I would like that. Go ahead.
You managed to get in here fluff-free?
No, a bit right up the nose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you actually, the fluff actually went up the nostril, caused you a bit of grief.
I just happened to breathe at the moment it was flying by. And it went.
And that's the thing. It might not be the thing that, gets right into people's sinuses for the allergies, but it's that inconvenience of it getting caught in your eyes, up your nose, my case, in your hair, that causes a bit of grief. But, Belle, there's still a very special exhibition going on at the moment as far as children's literature goes. Story time, something for kids, something for adults in there, but also some very special objects there as well.
There are.
What are the ones really catching your eye?
Well, I sort of thought that we might talk about some of the ways that there's the display of the creative process, how writers crossed out their words and changed their mind, how illustrators decided, no, that illustration wasn't going to work. So I picked out a few that I thought would be useful to talk about, and then kids could perhaps make a beeline for those particular ones.
Oh, yeah. So at least that when we go and see it, we sort of got a bit of background for it.
Yeah.
So what's caught your eye?
Well, the first one, I think, is Bob Graham. Now, Bob Graham is well-known. He's produced 90 books over 45 years.
90 books.
I know. And the one that is, there are two of his works that are in the National Library Storytime Exhibition. And I thought I would talk about Max, which is about his parents who are able to fly and they're superheroes and they want him to be a superhero, but he doesn't really want to solve crimes and things like that. He's just a gentle young fellow. So in the exhibition are two marvelous artworks and then his dummy. And the dummy.
His dummy?
The dummy is how he changed his mind. He decided he was not going to have it that way and he was going to change the illustration. I think that would be an inspiration for children who are thinking, everything is perfect in a book. I can't write like that. Well, if Bob can do this, so can children.
So what did you learn when you saw it, when you saw those changes?
Well, of course, we have these particular artworks in our center, so I already knew about it. But if you have a look at this double-page spread, mm-hmm. Now this is one of the artworks that's on there. So there's a few things that are left out. So you look at the dummy and you think, well, where is the dog?
Yes.
And, where is the little boy who flies? And
especially with these books that are so familiar to some kids, they've spent ages poring over every detail, every image in there.
Exactly. And then there's also his Silver Buttons. And the Silver Buttons book won the Prime Minister's Award in the year it was published. And there are two original artworks there and another dummy. And this dummy is tiny. So it's interesting that Bob uses different size dummies. I don't know why, but, I can imagine children would say, I've got a book that I can make into a dummy.
Yeah, okay.
So I like that idea. Yeah.
Now, you've also, Mem Fox's Possum Magic has also caught your eye. Why is that?
Well, Mem Fox's book, Possum Magic, is just an eternal favorite. 5 million copies sold around the world, published in many, many different languages. Everybody can remember some of the rhyme and the rhythm. And it's never been out of print since it was first published in 1983. And again, this is hope for all children who think, I can't write. Here is the typed manuscript. The first draft was rejected by 9 publishers over 5 years. But look at the success it is now. She didn't give up. She finally found a publisher who said, No. It should be Australian animals, not mice. So she had to rewrite it. And they said, we wanted you to cut it down by 3/4. You can only have this many words, not this many. And of course, what a wonderful change. Isn't that inspirational?
It is.
That even somebody as perfect as Mem Fox can make a change.
And so what do you see when at the Storytime exhibition, what do you see as far as the Mem Fox collection goes?
Well, you're going to see that typed manuscript. And then there's a little tiny yellow post-it note that's been framed as well. And it says, rejected 9 times over 5 years, and so it should be. So she finally sort of realised that.
Who wrote that post-it note?
Yeah, she wrote the post-it note. She wrote it.
In anger at herself?
Yeah, she was, you know, like, it really wasn't as good as it could be. And the good thing about an editor and a publisher is they can spot the things that aren't just making that story perfect. So lucky Mem, she found good publishers in Omnibus Books.
You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, and with you is Dr. Bel Alderman. She's from the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature, and taking us through some of the choice items that are on display as part of the Storytime exhibition that's currently on at the National Library. And you've also, oh, I do like My Two Blankets.
Right. I think My Two Blankets is absolutely one of the best books that have been published in the last 15 or 20 years.
Why do you think it's one
of
the best?
Well, because you can tell there's two cultures. There's a young girl who's obviously come from Africa. Everything is different. The food is different. The smells are different. The light is different. The sky is different. The people are different. And she goes into a park and meets a girl who befriends her. And from there on, you can tell that she's accepting a new culture, but she's still keeping her own culture. Now, this book has been translated into Catalan, Dutch, German, Italian, Dari, Farsi, and Arabic. Now, that has to be a sign of a book that needs to be shared with everyone. And this, the reason why I think this book is quite special is because they have one original in this playtime room for kids. And if you look at that illustration, if I were a child and I were looking at it, I'd really want to write a story about her. And so that's another way that we can inspire young children to create their own stories.
Yes, Two Blankets. It's a beautiful book, Two Blankets. So the illustrations are by, is it Freya Blackwood?
That's right.
Okay. And but it's one definitely worth looking out for. And so is this one. Tell me, Bel, about The Lost Thing. This has won a lot of awards.
Absolutely.
Hasn't it?
It definitely has, including an Academy Award in America. It was so funny. I looked at the little clip of that a couple of days ago, and Sean is like so much shorter than all the Americans. He looked like a young boy accepting the award. I think Lost Thing is an amazing story. I once had a student who came in and I said, bring your favorite book from childhood. And this is the one she brought in. I said, what made you like this book? And she said, well, I felt lost and different and I needed a friend. And that's what this book is about friendship and accepting somebody who's different. And of course, The Lost Thing, nobody really knows where it belongs. And it's rather an odd looking, mechanical looking thing, but apparently it has a personality, and this young boy accepts him and they become friends, and he finally finds a place where there's a lot of other unusual lost things. So it has a wonderful happy ending. And in the exhibition, what you've got is Sean Tan writes in minuscule handwriting, very, 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 very tiny.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know why, but you know how some people have a very particular handwriting. And so these are on display, his drawings for this book. And it's written in little tiny handwriting, different ideas that he has for this artwork and for this story. I think kids would find that pretty interesting.
To get that insight into what he's done.
Yeah, to get that insight.
We are going through some of the items that you can see if you go to the Storytime exhibition at the National Library. Also included is The 11th Hour by Graham Bass. Tell me about The 11th Hour, Bel.
Well, The 11th Hour, I mean, how many? There have been many, many people who've looked at this book.
And it's got a lot of animals.
A lot of animals. And in the exhibition itself, there is the jacket cover. And beside the jacket cover is all his little tiny minute drawings of where he was going to place each one of these animals. He had to decide what looked good together, what looked next to the giraffe and next to the pig.
Yeah, the cover picture is just crammed with different animals in rather fetching outfits, you know, different kind of outfits.
Well,
party outfits.
Yeah, they're all coming for Horace's 11th birthday at the 11th hour.
It's like the village people meets the zoo, really.
That's right. And because they're already all animals and then they all come dressed as something, like the giraffe has an angel halo and wings. But
why wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Belle?
Well, that matches up perfectly. And the interesting thing about this is it's full of codes and ciphers and puzzles and games. And just as the 11th hour, they're about to have the feast, somebody's eaten it all. Who has eaten the feast?
I thought you said someone got eaten, but no, someone's eaten the feast.
The wonderful feast that was here on the table, someone has taken it all. They've spent the day doing games and playing things. So in the book are all the codes and the ciphers and the way you can figure it out. You can figure it out through the illustrations, through the words, through the tips. And you saw how busy the illustrations are. So
there's a lot of clues in there.
Not easy. Fortunately, he's got, if you want to cheat a little.
Oh, don't cheat.
Don't cheat.
Don't
okay.
cheat. So that's at the last page?
The last two pages, he explains all the codes and ciphers. Okay. So this book has been really very, very popular.
So you've got the answers in there, but just don't cheat straight away and go to the last page. Jump.
And in that little playroom is also a great big illustration of this one, from Graham Bass.
Of the lions.
Lazy lions lounging in the library.
Oh, we do love a alliteration, don't we?
And every one of the pages is like that. Like, beautiful blue butterflies basking by a babbling brook. Or an armadillo avoiding an angry alligator. So they're full of tongue twisters. So this book is obviously in that special room where children can go in and there's paper to use, there's pencils and crayons. There's lots of these books that are throughout the exhibition. And then they can also, look at the film of The Lost Thing. I forgot to mention that.
But that's playing too.
And so there's about 10 films in there in that small room for kids. And if you get totally tired and wiped out, there's a bed where you can take a nap.
Oh,
so
because sometimes when I'm reading, I get a little bit tired, but I have a nap and then I can keep reading again.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that's you've talked a lot about what is there for the kids. What about older young people, and what about the adults that might be going along?
I think the most amazing thing happened last Thursday night. I was there and I was just overwhelmed because at that evening.
Do you need tissues? I've got tissues.
No, this is a happy
okay.
moment. Well, we had three people who are eminently wonderfully inventive and creative authors and illustrators. We had Lee Hobbs, Alison Lester, and Freya Blackwood all talking together on the same panel. We didn't know how it was going to work out because when you've got three people, well, you can't actually control exactly how the conversation is going to go. But they each one talked about their own art. They each one had five slides where they would talk about something that was really important to them. Mm. You would be able to then go to the National Library's Facebook and play that. I think it would be for older kids because it's an hour long and you need to concentrate. But really, the whole theater was packed. There was standing room only. And the questions, they kept going. We could have gone forever, but I would highly recommend anybody to listen to this because they were just terrific.
And so where can we listen to it?
You have to go to the Facebook for the National Library.
Right.
And then you look for Storytime Illustration, and then it will pop up, and then you can just click on it, and it downloads for a little while because it's an hour long. And then you can just sit there and you can put your whole screen on and you can see these people in grand array with their slides behind them.
I think I'll be booking an hour for that. Thank you so much for telling us about it, Belle. So as Belle mentioned, you can go to the National Library's Facebook page for more information about Storytime and to see that panel discussion. That was Belle Alderman, Emeritus Professor of Children's Literature and the Director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature.